There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Hey, and we're back. This is Cam Marston. You're listening to Midday Mobile. I want to wish Sean Sullivan, wherever he may be, a happy vacation. He is not here, though. Gives us a little leeway to do things a little differently. Next hour, this is what was upcoming. We're going to focus on something completely different than what you heard in the past hour, if you're sticking around. And we're going to talk about the future of this town. And I've got some people on that are going to help us have that conversation. Let me tell you my story real quick. And it's not really unique. I'm beginning to learn that it's not very unique. This is 10 years ago now. My wife's a volleyball coach in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's coaching at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. We have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and she announces that we're pregnant with twins. And suddenly, Charlotte is not the place to be for us anymore. We need arms and laps that only family can provide. And we put our kids in the car when they were about, I want to say, 13 weeks old and moved home. Home is, for me, is Mobile, Alabama. We've been here for 10 years, and I'm not unusual in that. There are a lot of people that I meet around this town that have moved home from a bigger city where they thought they could chase their future in a more, let's say, a better, more lucrative place. But I have found upon returning that there is extraordinary opportunity in this town. And I remember when I left Mobile as a headed off to college, I said very clearly and loudly, and I've had a lot of people remind me of this, I'm not coming back. And I've come back, and I've been grateful for my return. I want to introduce you to my guests here. We got one on the line. I'll get to him last in the introduction because he's going to be first with his comments. But let's go around the room. David, begin if you would, please.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm David Rogers. I'm the Vice President of Economic Development at the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce. We're the leading economic development arm for the city and the county of Mobile.
David is the one that's reaching out to these companies that we see coming into town that are employing so many people, and he has the responsibility of introducing people to Mobile in a broad way. First impressions come through you of our town. Haley.
Hi, I'm Haley Van Antwerp. I'm the director of Innovation Portal. That's an innovation and entrepreneurial center located in downtown Mobile. And we are a program of the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce.
The Innovation Portal for Entrepreneurs, which is great, which is just great. And it's going to be downtown, not in some out on the side of town. That's good. And finally, we've got David Zock. David, shall I introduce you or do you want to take care of that?
Well, I'm willing to let you try.
David Zock is trained at the University of Houston as Future Studies. David studies trends. He identifies the trends that are shaping the personalities and the behaviors of a group, of a society, and he interprets those trends for corporate America so that they can best understand them and work with them. David, how is that?
That's good enough.
Okay, very good. I will tell everybody, David lives in Milwaukee. And he and I talk a handful of times a year, and without a doubt, I hang up with my calls from David with my head spinning. He sees the world differently. He understands things differently, and he's the one that has given me the idea of what I think will become a show on one of my Wednesday night shows, which is you can have it all, assuming you're in the right zip code. David, I want you to begin with your fads, trends, and principles theory, and relate that, if you will, to the conversation about growing this fair town of mine.
Okay. So here's the basic mantra. You play with fads, you work with trends, and you live by principles. That's easier said than done because far too often we are seduced by fads, ignorant of trends, and resistant to principles. And you know, just listening to your last guest, Rashiki, he got caught up in fads. You know, fads are about the moment. And being in the moment is a great thing. Like, if you have people that are maybe going to be coming into Mobile, what, you know, what's going to capture their attention? And so, you know, think of fads as kind of like a spice. It's enough to create something new and exciting and different, but there has to be substance underneath it. Trends are about change. More of this, less of this. And Rishi can talk basically, you know, about you know, he was talking about, you know, kids and kids recognizing the investment that's made in them. That's a great way to think about childhood, is that it's a trend. And you hope it's an upward trend, but it's about change over time, transformation over time. Is there more of what we want? Is there less of what we don't want? And then the notion of principles is the stuff that doesn't change. And again, to refer to, you know, what Rashika was talking about, is that he got in touch, or he didn't forget those principles. Those are the things that grounded him. So you can ask about, like, your community, what are the principles here? What are the things that should, that either are always true or should always be true?
David, let's take that. Let's jump off there. When these people that are looking at Mobile are asking about the city, are they asking about, to use Dave Zock's example, are they asking about the fads? Let's say a fad of the town may be the number of coffee shops. That's probably a poor example, but the number of coffee shops. Are they asking about the fads, or are they asking about the principles of the city? Is this a place, what is the expression, to live, to work, and play for the rest of my life? What do they want to know?
I think it's kind of all the above. We're seeing when our recruitment efforts now in companies, the decision factors of wanting to locate here are changing. Economic development world is changing as we know it. One thing that is growing right now is the idea they are more interested in those topics because they understand that that is the recruitment for their workforce. They understand that is how they're going to get their people to locate Mobile and to stay here. You know, we can talk all day about making a business case for an entity, but if they do not have a qualified workforce for 20 and 50 years, that company will not be successful in Mobile. And so that's, I think, is the challenge that we do have as a community, but it's something that we're taking the right steps towards to kind of get there. But I do think it's kind of all the above. It's a little bit of different, but it kind of varies depending on which industry sector you're talking about. We've recruited a couple of corporate headquarters here in the last 18 months. One of those was SSAB. SSAB moved their corporate headquarters from Chicago to Mobile. A lot of people wouldn't think of an entity coming from Chicago to Mobile. And so, you know, there was a lot of those kind of topics of, hey, what are the things to do in Mobile? What are the amenities that we have to help our families locate here?
Haley, we're going to get back to you. I want to hear your take on the fads, trends, and principles, particularly around the innovation portal, and the entrepreneurs, and whether this is something that organizations want to see. They want to know that it's there. Is it long-lasting? And I also, I'm not ignoring you here. I want you on the mic. When we come back from break, I want to hear your story. You come from a place I've not really ever heard of before, and we'll get your story when we come back. I'm being facetious here, folks. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Midday Mobile. I'm Cam Marston.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
I assure you, Sean does not want to hear from you right now. Sean is somewhere on vacation, but we in this studio do want to hear from you. That number is 343-0106. We're talking about selling our fair city, this place that I have chosen to call home, that I'm certain, unless something completely unforeseen happens, will be my final resting place, and I want people to love it as much as I do. Let us know what you see in this town, what you see as a sellable point of our city. It might be something we've never considered. Haley, I want to get back to you. I cut you off rudely before the break. Dave Zock talked about fads, trends, and principles, and how we should filter things through those three items. How does the innovation portal relate to fads, trends, and principles?
Absolutely. So we all know that entrepreneurship and innovation, those are hot hot topic words, right? Everyone's excited about them across the country. You know, I think what's important here with Innovation Portal and with what we're doing in this region is we're trying to build a culture of entrepreneurship and innovation. And a culture is something that becomes more of a trend and then eventually becomes a principle that's ingrained, right? So, you know, encouraging potential entrepreneurs to break out of their silos, industry that's already here, encouraging them to reach out to entrepreneurs to assist with challenges that they might have. I think that's how we can help to build the culture so that this is a long-lasting component of our economy.
So the when you say entrepreneurs, one of the things that immediately strikes me is they can shape a community, they can define a community, particularly the ones that we know about that have really, really gone on to extraordinary things. But it also conjures up youth. Entrepreneurs, we typically think of, and I was reading stuff earlier today, tinkerers in their garage that stumble onto something that becomes something huge. But entrepreneurs aren't entirely youth-driven. Do we want to create a community that's for only young people? Is that the goal here?
Absolutely not. What you have with entrepreneurs that have more experience or those in industry that have more experience is you need that experience to balance, you know, perhaps the young entrepreneur that hasn't had that experience or might not have as rich of a network. So there needs to be some sort of collaboration. And there also needs to be entrepreneurs at all age levels to help drive this sector of the economy.
David, there are communities out there, and I remember a book by Richard Florida about featuring youth and targeting youth. Talk to me about targeting youth and your studies on communities and whether it's a long-term, a good strategic long-term goal, or if it has some holes in the strategy. Dave Zock.
David Zock, okay. Well, here's a lot of times you see these programs with economic development of focusing in on youth and what the millennials are interested in. But millennials have a big flaw. They're incredibly unreliable in this one sense. They don't stay young. So if we put our efforts into what they're interested when they're in their 20s, we're missing out on those eventual things that most everybody wants to get into or become a part of, which is, you know, buying homes, starting families, and sort of being into the mainstream of life. So yes, you want to have things for them to do, but focus on the needs, not just the wants that are, you know, sort of the center of your life when you're in your 20s.
When you're recruiting companies to Mobile, when you're talking to them about the town, how much is a youth culture a part of the conversation?
It varies. I mean, there's some, you know, if we're working a technology type based project, they may have more of an interest in that. But you know, Mobile at the heart has always been a manufacturing community, and that's not to spur us from future growth of that young population. The things that a lot of companies are asking us about is, what is your quality of life? What is your cost of living? You know, we're 92% of the national average. We're 73% on housing.
What does that mean, 92% of the national average?
So the national average index on residential cost of living index across all the metropolitan areas in the United States, we're 92% of the national average, of that being 100. So we're very much lower. And the most of our savings in that comes in housing, which is great, because what we're seeing as a trend right now in decision making on location decision for individuals, what we're studying is that's now becoming one of the top two and top three decision making ideas for somebody who's looking to relocate to an area.
So let's say you guys, the two of you here with me, are approaching a individual who you're trying to convince them to move to this town. You're trying to lay out the things that they should find, that you feel they should find important. Where does that begin? How do you begin to articulate the values of this community? Because I want it to grow. Mm-hmm. I want ambitious people to look at our community and say, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to invest the rest of my life, because I can remain ambitious and still fulfill my dreams here. Go ahead. Where would you begin that conversation?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is buy them a plane ticket to Mobile so they can see it for themselves. I think that's the greatest hurdle, is just getting them here. Once they're here, they'll see the water. They'll see a house, you know, that's for sale for $150,000 and close to downtown. They'll start to see those components that make our economy great. They'll also start to see, if they dig a little deeper, you know, an economic development arm that's closely tied to the university so that they can have a workforce, you know, highly skilled workforce.
I forgot to ask you about your story. You have a remarkable story that got you here. Go ahead and tell us that.
Well, I don't know how remarkable it is, but I was living in New York with my husband, and we had a couple of kids, and we knew we wanted more. I was traveling internationally, and he was traveling quite a bit as well, and we knew we needed more than just a nanny to care for our children. So we moved to Mobile, which is where he was originally from. He received a job offer, and I commuted to New York and also internationally for a couple of years before really, you know, my eyes opened and I saw all the opportunity before us in this market. And, you know, with Innovation Portal, kind of my personal motto is headquartered here. I would like to see more organic growth-based companies that are headquartered here.
Yeah. Well, I think that it sounds like you've done your good job, David, in getting them interested in here. Give me the top three or four questions that people who are considering relocating their headquarters to Mobile want to know from you. How do they measure quality of life? I know how I measure it. The fact that tomorrow afternoon I'll hopefully be laying into a big fish somewhere and I can be home for dinner is remarkable. I know how I measure it. How do these companies that are screening this town measuring it?
I think very similar. They're asking us, you know, we can look at numbers, we can look at metrics, but what does that mean? What does that ultimately mean, the trickle-down effect to an employee? Because companies a lot of times are looking at Mobile and realize that the cost of doing business is lower here. Not only the cost of living, but the actual cost of doing business. You know, the salaries here compared to salaries in Chicago are very much different. And I would argue that with Chicago and their high cost of living, that the salaries that are paid here go further. So that's what we have to portray is, yes, you know, you may be, you know, $80,000 compared to $110,000 on this same type job in Chicago. However, this $80,000, you're probably getting 20% more out of it because of the cost of living that's here in Mobile.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we do a lot of that. Some of the other things they want to talk about, they want to see, do you have a strong education system? That was one thing that we got when we had sent our team up to Chicago to actually help SSAB recruit the companies down here. Some of the things they were asking about is, hey, how are we going to help our spouses get jobs? That's something that is that family thought process of not just moving down there, but how are our spouses and partners going to get jobs? So it was part of that. It was also, hey, how was your education system set up from the K-12 all the way to what do you have for community college systems? What do you have do you have a strong university system? Which luckily we are very lucky in Mobile to have that with South Alabama. But it's kind of that overall picture for them. And so they ask a lot of questions about the quality of life, yes, but they really dig down into that a lot more.
Yeah, they want to know what their people are going to do and see and live and breathe and give them confidence that they can raise their children in a fruitful environment or something like that. When you get them to town, what do you show them? What is the Mobile Chamber of Commerce tour of the city of Mobile include?
So I would argue that when we have certain people in town and this is the type of topics that they're wanting to talk about, we drive them around and show them the houses. A lot of people want to see where are our employees going to live? And we have all different types. We drive them around downtown and show them all the urban development kind of going around in downtown Mobile right now, all the pre-construction and planned phases. We drive around Midtown. We drive around West Mobile. We drive on the south through South Mobile County. We drive through Saraland. We drive through all the areas of Mobile to kind of show them the diversity that we have in Mobile on housing options.
Yeah. So, Haley, I want to get back to you in the Innovation Portal. Is there a different argument for an entrepreneur to settle here than it is for a corporate headquarters?
Well, I don't know that it's a different argument because the same principles are at play. But if you think of recruiting a high potential, high growth entrepreneur from, let's say, Silicon Valley, this entrepreneur is scraping by, right? He could be living in a house with six other guys, working his tail off, no quality of life. And I think what you can sell there are a few things. One, you know, the cost of living, the homes. Another thing you can sell is, say, for example, they have, you know, a product that requires some testing and they need an environment that's favorable for testing. You know, because of our you know, political positioning, we have pretty favorable climate for that as well.
Yeah. So the entrepreneurs, are they, it's so hard to make ends meet in Silicon Valley. I have clients out there and it's a tough environment. And they're typically competitive folks, and they look upon this town as a place where they don't have to slash throats in order to do well.
That's correct.
Yeah, well, that's great. I'm a big advocate for our town, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more. Dave Zock, I'm getting you in on this when we come back, a little bit more on predictions of trends going forward for the shapes of cities, things that we need to know about. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And we're back. You're listening to Cam Marston, not Sean Sullivan. And I want to talk, Haley, before we left, or what, during the break, you mentioned something about R&D, the opportunity with the innovation portal, with entrepreneurs. Tell me more about what you just said. First, repeat what you said and tell me more about that and why that should appeal to so many organizations that are looking for places to relocate.
Well, I mentioned that we are well positioned politically and that our regulatory environment is more flexible than other places for testing new products. You know, think testing hovercraft or drones or driverless cars. That's very difficult to do in some states, but it's a lot easier to do in the state of Alabama just because of our political positioning. So there is an opportunity there for testing of these types of new and emerging products and technologies.
Well, I think that's huge, that the entrepreneur who said, I've got an idea, I'm going to need to test it somewhere, and I can do it where I develop it versus having to take it someplace else to test.
Absolutely. And one really nice thing about, you know, a testing environment is that R&D is always around that. And R&D is what creates really interesting jobs. You know, that's what's going to be a job for the spouse of someone that's coming in from SSAB, or it's a great recruitment tool to have those interesting jobs.
I would say so. Dave Zock, you and I were talking during the break as well. What you got for us in helping this conversation go forward?
The economy today is driven by two strong forces. One is creativity, which is in some way, you know, what Haley was talking about with R&D. But how do we create or innovate products, services, ideas? But then the other big force is logistics, which is how do we organize and distribute those products, services, ideas. Here's a good example. We think of like Apple and like an iPhone, and we marvel at the design of it, you know, the sense of the creativity of it. But if I'm sitting next to you and I call you on your phone, the call goes into outer space before it gets to you sitting right next to me. That's logistics. And so how you can connect what's going on in Mobile to the rest of the world. But it's creativity and logistics. Those are the two forces.
And do you foresee that, David, in your study of trends, your study of the economy, is this a 5-year trend? Is this a 20-year trend? Is this becoming a principle of the economy, both creativity and logistics?
I would say it's a very long-term trend. I mean, you can't survive very well unless you're very localized, very specific to a small community. If you are going to be in the global economy, you have to look at both of those, and that's for the foreseeable future.
Do you have, and this is a surprise question, it's unfair, and I will accept your retaliatory comments. Give me an example of what it used to be before it became creativity and logistics. Help me put this in perspective.
I think your markets were much more limited, or you stumbled upon it, or you relied upon everything. But think about how we can have overnight delivery. And we now expect that. So logistics, you know, we think of how we think that the economy has gotten so creative. Well, logistics has been driving it in that, you know, we can have anything anywhere.
And it's becoming a fabric of every community, is that they expect that. In fact, I saw something on the news yesterday about how Amazon is now delivering in the Himalayas.
Of course they are.
Of course they are.
It's that, but that's that notion of instead of location, 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 now it's location, amenities, access.
And access is a part of the logistics, you would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
And but also then being able to have those amenities right there.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Can I get a really good meal if I'm used to Chicago or New York, and can I get really good, you know, meals in Mobile? And the answer is, of course.
Of course you can.
You can get them almost anywhere today. You know, small to medium-sized cities have people who have trained at fine restaurants.
Yeah.
But they wanted to come home.
I want to go to the caller right now. Keith, you've been on hold for a while. I appreciate you sticking around. You and I have had a call or a conversation like this not long ago, and your business is fascinating to me. I was surprised that it exists in our town of Mobile and kind of stays on the under the radar. But you recruit some of the top software talent to come to this town and live and produce the product that you guys produce. Would you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do, and most importantly, how you lure this talent to our fine part of the world?
Okay, well, my company is Prism Systems, and we're a software company, and our projects tend to be a little out there. We do a lot of entertainment stuff, so we're working in the entertainment parks doing ride control. We do a lot of AGV work, automated guided vehicles. We're doing those for manufacturing of products, as well as they fold into our ride portfolios that we work on. And our work tends to be all over the world. And so I've lived the challenge of being in Mobile for 28 years, trying to recruit software talent to come here. And it's been an interesting transition over the years. We're seeing things today easier to attract people into Mobile than we did 10 years ago, just because of the progression that we've had in Mobile.
So what do you say? Let's assume you have a talent. Let's gonna assume it's a. I'm guessing in my mind's eye, I see, for the purpose of this hypothetical case, a 35-year-old who's got 10 years experience behind him. He's got a computer engineering background, and he is a rare find. You know that he's looking, and you place a call to him and say, "Hey, my name is Keith. It's Prism Systems in Mobile. If you've been to Universal, you've been on our Universal theme park. You've experienced some of our rides. I got a job for you." And he says, "Tell me more." What do you say?
Well, sadly, we do a little trickery, because we hold out the carrot to the fun ride, you know, and the fun stuff that we do, and we kind of gloss over some of the tedium that goes with it. And so, you know, our customers are typically Fortune 100 companies, and we do some interesting stuff. And so we attract technology people by appealing to the technology aspects of what we do and challenge them with things they won't get to do in very many other places.
Do they ever push back at the thought of how do you sell them on our town?
And that's always been a hard thing, because people aren't really thinking Alabama first when they're looking at where they want to relocate to. And traditionally, what we did is we tended to search out people that had roots here, because we found that they were more likely to stick and stay if they had some connection to the area. Nowadays, if we can actually get them here and they can see Mobile, and we entertain them and we take them fishing and we do all these kinds of things that are sort of unique to the area, we stand a much better chance of hiring them.
Yeah, it's a powerful argument. But just like Haley said a little while ago, we got to get them on that airplane. We got to get them to this town. I have a personal interest in my children wanting to live in this town. Of course, I like every one of them. And I want them to stick around. And I want them to be aggressive in their career and know that they can be aggressive in their career in this town. When you're recruiting the software talent, is there an underground current, Keith, that you feel like our town is now a part of an underground current of a place to go?
So we've been recruiting a lot of young people locally from the local universities here, from the Southeastern Conference schools, and bringing them down. And we're finding that we're able to get and bring people up in a few years to be equivalent to top schools. I mean, the talent that's here is perfectly adequate for what we're trying to accomplish. Our customers are astounded all the time at the quality of our people, and they've said that they're surprised that they're coming from Alabama, which is just more indication of the stereotypes we've got to overcome.
Well, those stereotypes, you're right. And I travel all across the country, not worldwide, but across the country. And I deal with those stereotypes as well. And there's some of the people that I interact with who, quite frankly, are unpleasant and unlikable people. And I tell them, you don't want to go to Alabama because all the stereotypes are true, just to keep them out. Gosh knows, you go over to Fairhope right now, and there are many, many people that have decided to vacation and see what this part of the world is like, and they never leave. They set up shop there, which is, you know, a compliment to us in some ways. Certainly, it can only be interpreted as a compliment to us. When we get back from the break, we got a break coming up, and I want to have a discussion of what's called in business a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats. SWOT, a SWOT analysis that puts our city in the crosshair of the SWOT analysis. And we got to be very candid. What do we do well? What do we need to work on? What are our threats? Could, let's say, Pensacola be a threat for some way or another? Are they looking at us on that? So let's have that conversation when we get back. You're listening to Midday Mobile. I'm Cam Marston, sitting in for Sean Sullivan.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Don't call Sean. Call Cam. Same number. We'd love to hear from you. Just prior to the break, we're going to run through a SWOT analysis of our town. I am extraordinarily biased. I have left all sense of fair judgment on the sideline. This is my town. I'm from it. I've got generations from it, and I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. And we're going to go through the SWOT analysis and have everybody chime in. And Keith, on the phone, you're going to be first. The strengths of this town, man. What do you feel like when you approach these targets, software engineers? How do you articulate the strengths of the city of Mobile? And we'll go through the room.
Well, one thing that's already been mentioned is cost of living. This is a great place compared to other markets to be able to afford a house, to live at a higher level than you can in the bigger cities.
And do your target, the people that you bring this information to, does that resonate quickly? When I'm a young person, I'm thinking about where's the next beer, pub crawl or something like that. But so that resonates as you bring your recruiting out, huh?
It does when we let them travel a little bit and they see the differences between here and, of course, places. Spent a lot of time in California, which is just insanely expensive.
Yeah, it is. Thank goodness it is. Dave, what you got on the strengths?
Yeah, so I would easily say outside of cost of living, just quality of life that we do have. Being able to go to the beach 11 months out of the year, being able to play golf 12 months out of the year kind of aspect of it, being in a 45-minute drive time, you're in three different states here versus, if you're in an Atlanta market, you may not go 12 miles. So just being able to capitalize on our logistical advantages and quality of life, I think, is easily a strength for Mobile.
I think it is, too. I think anywhere you can pursue an aggressive career, play at the top of your game, and be able to coach your kids' T-ball team after work is without a doubt a quality of life element. Haley, what you got on the strengths?
I think access to networks is something that's a huge advantage. Mobile is a small town. So if you think about, we had an entrepreneur come from Hamburg, Germany. He had an aviation-based product, and he had been trying to get into Airbus in Hamburg for months to no avail. He came to Mobile, and within 2 days he was meeting with the local head of Airbus, and that's an example of how just the network here, having access to the network, it's so much easier than it is in much larger places.
That's an amazing story. I imagine he wrote home going, "You wouldn't believe it. 2 days, and I'm in with the guy that's running the show in Alabama."
True story.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Hey, Dave Zock, when we were on the break, you were talking a little bit about the neighborhoods and dream neighborhoods. I'd love to hear you. I tell you what, and let me relate this to myself. I think I am in the world's greatest neighborhood. There's no way I'd ever leave it. I'm going to go out of my house in a box. It's perfect. Dave, talk to me about dream neighborhoods.
Well, and this is particularly when we're thinking about young people either staying or coming to there. But I heard a designer, Paul Steffen, at a conference, and he said, young people today don't want dream homes. They want dream neighborhoods. And because there's so many people that are not buying into this vast consumerist society, You know, they're not looking for the expensive McMansions. They're not looking to be house poor. But they want to know, are they in a rich, interesting, diverse neighborhood where there are places to go, things to do, I mean, what the parks are like. But don't think about it in the sense of what is it going to cost when they go out, but rather just being in a neighborhood. What's the feel?
And I think that's
important.
Yeah, it's very important. It's another answer that can be, or another question answered upon arrival, upon reviewing it. We don't have a lot of time. Let's go straight to the opportunities of our fair town. What are the opportunities that you all see? Haley, I know you've got something here.
Well, just two very tactical ones. One, I think there's a lot of opportunity around the resources that are already here. Say, for example, the port, innovations in port technology. That's an area where we could align entrepreneurs and those with growth companies geared towards, you know, a port to come to this region. Also, incentives, like a new type of incentives for, you know, targeted high potential growth-based entrepreneurial ventures, buying them a plane ticket. I feel like that plane ticket is so valuable.
From everything we've heard, experiencing it firsthand is the key. And a $400 plane ticket is a cheap investment to make to get somebody here. I agree. That's something new. I didn't realize the significance of getting people here. David, opportunities. What do you see as an opportunity for our fair town?
Yeah, I would continue the opportunity that we've been working on with the university system that we have here. I think is a fantastic opportunity. I mean, we have one of the top engineering schools around here now, and that has easily come because of the engagement that the university has had with the business community. So I think making sure that we keep engaging with the university and these students and this growing university that we have, we keep cultivating to have these jobs right here in Mobile.
Yeah. Well, what for me, in my travels across the country, certainly an opportunity is kind of, and I don't want to say this, the way it's coming out is not exactly appropriate or accurate, rather, reputation. It's still a little bit seen as the South Alabama and lack of awareness. I remember I was out west sometime, and the guy said, "He said, where are you from? I'm in the cab. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from the Deep South. I'm from Alabama. He said, oh, that's right next to Arkansas, isn't it? I'm like, no, bozo. It has nothing to do with Arkansas. It's not anywhere. So the opportunities are great. We are, David, I appreciate your time helping, contributing to the conversation, and give us another angle. And Keith, want to get to know you better and hear what you're doing. Folks, we are invested in this town. I certainly am. I think all of us in this room is. The chamber certainly is. And we got something good going on here. The city of perpetual potential is coming to life. And we're going to be here firsthand to see it. Let's keep cheering it on. I'm very proud of what we've done thus far. Thank you guys for your time. Thanks for calling in, Dave Zock. And thanks for calling in, Keith. Folks, it's the end of the show. I want you to have a good 4th of July. Have a great, safe 4th of July. Don't let me read about you in the newspaper tomorrow. Sean will be back. When is Sean coming back? Thursday. You'll get Sean back Thursday. Have a good 4th.